Next agenda item. Eric, you're going to need a couple seconds to set up. And we have a seat up here for you, too. Good. Introduce Mr. Eric Schwab, Assistant Administrator for NOAA Fisheries, wants to address the council and provide a summary of NOAA Fisheries Agency Management Review of Fisheries in the Northeast. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, council members, for finding time for us on your busy schedule. We do, and also here with me is a man familiar to all of you, I'm sure, Preston Pate. I also want to acknowledge a couple of people in particular present in the audience, my deputy for regulatory programs, Sam Rauch, and Dr. Sam Pooley, who is back there, I took my glasses off, who is serving now as our acting chief scientist until we find a permanent replacement or for a period while we seek a permanent replacement for Steve Murawski. And I also want to I'm sure he was introduced as the new acting head of the Northeast Fisheries Science Center, but publicly acknowledge Frank and thank him for stepping up into that role. So what we want to do in the time available to us today, Mr. Chairman, is three things as quickly as we can. One, I'm going to make a few opening comments about phase one of our management review, as well as a companion science review that we are also releasing publicly today. Ask then press to spend a few minutes to provide an overview of the phase one process and findings, and then close with some discussion regarding our perspective on next steps, as well as an invitation to engage with the council in further planning in that regard. Last September, we committed to undertake a regional assessment of the fishery management process in New England. I want to extend due credit to your chairman, who had particularly requested such a review, admittedly in his personal capacity, not as your chairman, but we believed that was a very good idea, particularly in light of the intense pressures on our management system, including our science, management, regulatory, and communication endeavors. As I noted at the outset of this review, every organization, no matter how large or how well run, can benefit from efforts to improve its processes. And given the particular challenges that we collectively face in fisheries management in this region, we all can particularly benefit from this effort. This does not mean that the system is broken or that the progress we are making together is not real. Only that we can do better. We can do better for the fish. We can do better for fishermen, for fishing communities, and frankly, for ourselves, all of us as participants in the process. So as I indicated, today we're focused primarily on the management review, but we are also talking about today another report. Dating to early 2010, NOAA commissioned with Dr. Mike Sissonwine and Dr. Brian Rothschild, who's here with us and I know on your agenda later today, to conduct an independent review of the agency's existing science center processes and provide recommendations back. That report was submitted to us in early 2011. It provides some excellent recommendations regarding our science work nationwide. I'd like to thank Dr. Sissonwine and Dr. Rothschild for their work on this independent report and their recommendations. Both of these gentlemen, as you well know, are respected fishery scientists who know the agency very well, and their recommendations will enhance what we believe is already an excellent science enterprise in NOAA Fisheries. The release of these reports in Confluence speaks to obviously some important overlap, particularly in our science endeavor here in the region. But the management review, which is the primary focus of our presentation before you today, was specifically commissioned to look at issues related to management in New England particularly within the context of the reauthorized Magnuson Act. Before I turn the floor over to press, I want to thank all of you today for embracing this management review. As you will hear from press, 179 people spent a good bit of time engaging with press and with Touchstone in some very in-depth conversation about what's right with the process and what the challenges are that we face. And we very much benefited from that engagement and will continue to do so going forward. I asked press to oversee this process, and we contracted with Touchstone to work with him in that regard. They have, by my assessment, done a wonderful job with the first phase of this review, and I want to turn the floor over to press to walk you through quickly some of those findings and recommendations.
Thank you, Eric, and good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back and share with you the results of the report that we have prepared based on the cooperation and input that many of you in this room have had with us. I will apologize in advance if my presentation seems a little bit rushed, but there's a lot of information that is in the final report that I want to touch on in my presentation today, and I don't want to run the risk of leaving important points out. Generally, my presentation today will follow the same outline as the final report, which includes reasons for the study, how we went about conducting it, and our findings and recommendations and conclusions. The purpose of the project is to conduct a regional assessment and management review of the New England fisheries management process, focusing on the relationships among the regional office, science center, and council, but also including a review of other factors influencing the ability of these three groups to carry out their individual and collective responsibilities. The project goal was to provide recommendations for providing adequate resources to meet the requirements of the Magnuson Act and recommend ways to change the current process to make it more efficient and effective in carrying out NOAA's fisheries management mission. We began our review in October of 2010 by outlining the methodology, establishing a timeline, and defining the principles by which we would operate. Since the review was to be based primarily on stakeholder input, we paid particular attention to making sure that all interests were represented in our survey. As a result, as Eric said, we conducted 179 interviews among the groups shown in the slide, either in person or by phone. And I'd like to extend my sincere appreciation to all that were interviewed and shared with us your experiences and ideas. I didn't come into this project thinking that there were any shrinking violence in New England, and I'll certainly go away reinforced in the idea that there's some strong opinions here and you folks don't mind sharing them. We attended several council meetings and made 2 week-long trips to the region for the in-person interviews. We identified stakeholders through examination of staff rosters, council sign-up sheets, and to a great extent, referrals that people we were interviewing made to us for subsequent contacts. Each interview would start with a few high-level questions that led to discussion of more specific points as the interview progressed. Each interview was confidential, and we stressed that we were focusing on our review on the process and not the outcome of the process. And that's to say, we weren't trying to decide whether catch shares is better than days at sea, but more the process used to get the council to the point of making the that choice and choices similar to that. When the data collection phase was complete, we read through the interview notes, organized them by stakeholder group, and identified recurring points of comment or comments that we considered constituted a theme for that group. We then developed our recommendations around those themes. After we completed that phase of the task, we reviewed prior studies pertinent to this region to determine how some of these same issues may have been assessed in the past. There are a few caveats that about the report that are worth mentioning and understanding as we go forward in evaluating the points that we're setting forth. As I said earlier, it's based on stakeholder input. There were no structured or randomized surveys or analysis of data beyond what we collected in the interviews. Although we could not interview everyone, we are confident that All major stakeholder groups, geographical areas, and interests have been fairly represented. When we interviewed representatives of the various agencies and stakeholder groups, we found that there was some degree of difference of opinion on certain issues, as you might expect, depending on job type within an agency, gear type, type used in fishing, where a person fished, and so on. Given that, we had to make some reasonable generalizations based on recurring themes to capture the sentiment of these groups. And we did so, but we did not present our findings about a particular group as a consensus within that group. And perhaps the most important principle we followed was to be objective and neutral in our analysis. We were very careful to base our findings and recommendations on information and opinions given by the participants to be sure that they reflected the opinions of those people that we were interviewing, and that the report fairly presented not only the criticisms of the process, but the good points of the process that exist. Each interview began with a high-level question of what is working with the process, what is not working, and what recommendations the interviewee has for making improvements. There was recognition and acknowledgement of quite a few good points in areas where improvements are being made. There was general recognition that staff within the organizations are highly professional and dedicated to their work and are doing the best they can given the span of control and influence. Many recognize that even though federal laws and executive orders require certain protocols for rulemaking that cause the process to be slow, such as establishing fixed days for public comment, the process is transparent, and no one complained about the appearance of backroom deals or the failure to have an open debate on important issues. Many see the value of cooperative research as a method for improving science and building trust between the stakeholders and NIMS. In fact, this may be the component of the program for which we receive the most consistently positive comments. The Northeast Region Coordinating Committee is a group made up of the region's fisheries executives from the New England and Mid-Atlantic Councils, the ASMFC, NOAA Fisheries Service Regional Administrator and Science Center Director. It is viewed as a helpful venue for gaining a critical alignment among leaders from those four agencies or those four groups. Many believe the Scientific and Statistical Committee, which advises the Council on stock assessments and catch levels, is a positive component of the fisheries management process, and that the SSC, as the SSC clarifies its relationship between the Science Center and the Council, stakeholders will gain more confidence that science rather than politics is driving the decision making. Stakeholders recognize that New England as having credible fishery scientists in government and academic institutions, and that these scientists are engaged in the process. Many believe that the overall process will improve and the stakeholders will have greater confidence in the decisions as scientists become more collaborative among themselves and with the industry. Many agree that the role of the sector managers is having a positive impact on collaboration between NIMS and industry. NIMS noted that sector managers provide a focal point for collaboration and communications with the industry, and sector managers said they have a greater response, they have seen a greater responsiveness from the service. The Marine Resource Education Program, or MREP, which is conducted through the Gulf of Maine Research Institute to provide training for the fishing industry on management, is viewed positively and seen as an effective way of building awareness among stakeholders. The part of our interviews in which we ask the interviewee to give opinions about what aspect of the program is not working well gave us the data to identify problems, both real and perceived, and state the challenges confronting the stakeholders collectively in developing and implementing solutions. Stakeholders agreed that many of the existing management programs and processes of the three organizations are unnecessary or redundant. As a result, each organization has programs that carry out similar functions, creating delays, tension, and inefficiencies across the system. Some examples are the Science Center and Regional Office share data, but without fully integrated systems that would otherwise avoid having to rework each other's data and prevent delays in getting data into stock assessment. Stock assessments conducted by the Science Center are reviewed both by the Stock Assessment Review Committee and the Scientific and Statistics Committee, which sometimes causes tension over technical aspects of the assessments and is viewed by some as unnecessarily redundant. Another example is that NIMS communication support in the Northeast is housed in both the Science Center and the Regional Office, which has created two entities that have difficulties coordinating communication to the same stakeholder groups. Many express frustration that governance of the process is weak and that the Council, Regional Office, and Science Center do not take ownership for the outcomes of a rule or resulting management action, and feel the reason for this is a lack of agreement or understanding about who is ultimately accountable for a decision. Many express frustration that the success or failures of past decisions are rarely evaluated and that little or no performance management or feedback mechanisms exist to track and review the performance of past decisions. As a result, many feel NIMS and the Council may not apply lessons from the past success or failures. There's also concern that without a performance management process, decisions are changed before anything meaningful has had a chance to happen. Many agree that there's no overarching vision or strategy or plan that is guiding policy management priorities, which has created instability in the system, making it difficult for fishermen to make good business decisions. Interviewees suggested that the process has become too complex and overly formal, which discourages them from actively participating. Specific areas of discontent were around overly formal meetings, poor outreach and communications, and confusing governance. As a result, participants engage late in the process at decisional meetings rather than scoping meetings, rather than at more appropriate stages of the process, such as the advisory panels and the PDT meetings. Many have lost or are losing faith in the process. Political influence has become an effective way for getting NIMS and the Council to respond to requests rather than using the current fisheries management process as set forth in the Magnuson Act. Political intervention often creates responsiveness. However, over time, it has contributed to unpredictability and rapid changes of the decisions. Lawsuits have also become an effective tool used by both industry and non-governmental organizations against NIMS. As a result, NIMS has become more rigid and strict in its interpretation of the law and policy and focused more on process to avoid losing lawsuits. Many NIMS and Council interviews express frustration that both National Environmental Policy Act and Magnuson Act add considerable amounts of redundant workload into the fisheries management process. Across the board, the industry feels that NIMS does not seek to help them. Specific examples of this were overly burdensome reporting requirements, untimely feedback on weekly reporting, and poor customer service. Many remember when development of the industry was part of the NIMS mission, but also recognized that the service had to correct for overcapitalization of the fleet in the 1970s. However, many feel that NIMS no longer has any focus on economic growth of the industry. Due to the political sensitivity of the fisheries, the Regional Office and Science Center must get multiple approvals from NOAA headquarters in order to release formal communications and responses. These controls contribute to the Regional Office and Science Center's limit the Regional Office and Science Center's ability to respond to requests in a timely manner, and is interpreted as a lack of concern or insensitivity causing the problems to escalate. Considerable time has to be spent cleaning and correcting poorly entered industry-generated data. Interviewees cited poor data entry systems, issues with reporting compliance, and the need for complex quality assurance protocols, which create delays that ripple throughout the system. Many interviews with industry participants highlighted the lack of confidence they have in NIMS survey design and collection methodology. Specific concerns focused on sample sites, gear and vessels being used for sampling. Many of the NIMS stakeholders complain that outdated and fragmented systems and information technology management delay the efficient flow of data into the management process. Many see this issue as a high priority given the increased role quota management and stock assessment will have in the process in the future. Despite the use of new methods and channels for outreach and communication, stakeholders feel information from NIMS is confusing and ineffective. Many noted that the amount of information and language in permit holder notices is not user-friendly. Some complain that important information is buried in the details and gets easily overlooked, and attribute the complex wording of notices permit holder letters, and so on, to the influence of NOAA legal advice and the need to make sure nothing in such communications or omitted from them could make NIMS vulnerable to lawsuit or complicate enforcement. Many recognize that there are factors in New England that create additional complexities that other councils do not have to face. The most common factors were geography. The council has more states than most other regions that are compacted into a relatively small geographical area, with each state having its own constituents, politicians, priorities, and representatives expecting their individual needs to be met. And history, in that New England has the oldest fishing point in the port in the country, and fishing is deeply embedded in its culture. Based on these findings, we made a series of recommendations. One group, the 60-day group that I'll explain first, are those that we feel like can be and need to be addressed within the shortest period of time. The second group is equally important, but can be implemented over a longer period, starting within the next 60 days. Improving collaboration between the Science Center and research partners and enhancing the cooperative research and research set-aside programs will capitalize on the positive aspects of cooperative and collaborative research over time build industry's confidence in the data. Leaders from the regional office, Science Center, NOAA, and the council should clarify expectations of each group and refresh roles and responsibilities. They should explore ways to eliminate unnecessarily redundant programs and activities among the groups by taking such actions as consolidating data management activities between the regional office and Science Center, eliminating redundant reviews and activities between the Stock Assessment Review Committee and the SSC, and clarifying roles and responsibilities between the Science Center and the SSC. Key engagements among the three groups and external stakeholders, especially the council meetings, need to be redesigned to make them more collaborative and welcoming, such as looking at other practices that other councils have put into place to achieve that goal and examining the possibility of utilizing facilitated discussions during the most contentious discussion of the most contentious points to make sure that the discussion takes place efficiently and individuals do not dominate the discussion. And many people we interviewed commented that doing such something as simple as providing coffee and refreshments at the council meetings will be a big improvement. That may seem superficial, and certainly the chuckle is justified, but it's important to a lot of people that we talk to, believe me. Communication should be redesigned to be simpler and easier to understand while still meeting the needs of the stakeholder. The council and NIMS should work with key industry representatives to understand how, when, and what information they want to receive and provide them with options on format and ways to receive it. The next few recommendations, given the length of it and the time that we have available, I won't read through. Again, the fact that they were recommended for initiation within the 120 days, the next 120 days in no ways implies that they're not important or critical to the long-term improvements. But we will skip reading of those to let you examine them at your leisure. So in conclusion, there are some problems and challenges associated with fisheries management that one would expect to find in a review of any Regis program. Competing interests, complaints about government regulation of an historically and economically important activity, and skepticism about data used to develop management measures are certainly not unique to you, to New England. But I think they have been made more acute in New England by recent changes in law, management programs, and economic and social shifts around the country. Likewise, some findings of this report are not new, as we learn from our reviews that have been done for this region or that have application to this region. This is evidence that there has not been a sufficiently strong commitment to finding solutions to the problems, or that there may be serious institutional or legal barriers standing in the way of implementation. Finding and implementing solutions to these problems will not be easy. Some will be long-term and require the commitment of some significant resources, but stakeholders believe that change can occur and hope that implementation of the recommendations of this report will be a priority for the agency. I am confident that progress can be made, but only if all parties involved recognize that they are part of the problem and commit to working together to make improvements. So that concludes. I'm sorry, I got behind on some of my slides. But I'll close with again expressing my appreciation for those that participated with us. It was very rewarding for me personally to come up here and have the opportunity to interact with people that have such passion for the resources that the laws are protecting and that are supporting the culture and economies of this region. And I hope this effort has the benefit of making long-term improvements. It's a significant investment by us all to get us to this point. So thank you.
So thank you, Press and Mr. Chairman. Before we move to discussion, what I'd like to do is then spend a few minutes talking about the agency's perspective regarding next steps, and certainly inviting this as the first opportunity, but not, for continued engagement with the council on these findings. I certainly want to thank Press and the Touchstone team for the work that they have done. We view this very much as and their work as very much something that needed to occur at an arm's length. It was a very independent endeavor. They now have transmitted the report to us, and we have begun to think about what that might suggest, both in the short and long term, with respect to actions on the part of the agency. But I also, again, want to thank all of those, including many, many people around this table and in this room who participated in that set of interviews. Your dedication and work in helping us to identify the challenges that Press articulated are going to be and provide an important foundation for us moving forward. We understood at the outset of the management review process that we have some very real challenges in New England, and we have moved aggressively to conduct this review. This independent review solicited information, positive and negative, from a variety of constituents and others knowledgeable about New England fisheries management. We listened. We are taking that input very seriously, and we plan to act aggressively to build on the current system and improve the overall process. There are steps we can take immediately, others that will take more time, and still others that will require this phase two investigation. But with this review and with these recommendations in hand, even from a phase one perspective, we have some specific actions that we are going to take to begin now to address concerns raised by both people inside this process and outside of the management system and begin to make improvements. And noteworthy, although it's national in scope, the National Science Enterprise Report affirmed the areas that need attention and improvement in New England, and its recommendations are, as I said earlier, complementary to the management review recommendations. We've always seen the management review in a phased approach, and today we are reporting on initiating action on phase one findings. Some of the recommendations will require deeper analysis and further discussion with you, which we'll undertake in greater depth in phase two. And as we look toward phase two, we specifically continue to want your input. We will be taking public comment on the phase one management review and the Touchstone recommendations for 30 days. As we speak, the two reports that we have been discussing are posted to our website along with an invitation for additional comment. And then obviously, we would welcome the opportunity to, in whatever fashion the council deems appropriate, engage more directly with you as it relates to some of the implications that apply to the council as well as to the agency. So based on the recommendations in these reports and some of these early action areas that Press noted in his overview, there are several things that we can and start doing right away. And I want to focus on four key areas briefly before we move on to some discussion. First is in the area of our science endeavors. The review was very specific regarding the opportunity to improve science collaboration. And while we, along with many partner institutions and fishermen across the region, continue to do great science work, we can do better. Especially in this budget climate, it is critical that the science conducted by our Northeast Fisheries Science Center and partner research institutions is done in a more collaborative manner in ways that maximize involvement of fishermen in the findings. We will seek to facilitate discussion with our partner research institutions to jointly discuss the specific steps we need to take to ensure this collaboration is as strong as we all want it to be. I'm going to speak momentarily to some specific actions related to cooperative research, but before I go there, I want to go back to that national review and note that there was a big focus there on creating a standardized program review policy at the agency level nationally, which is consistently applied to all science centers. Therefore, as a result, we are putting in place a national strategy for reviewing programs in each science center in 2012. Specifically, that will involve establishing protocols for nationally consistent reviews of our science programs. Additionally, we will be conducting strategic planning in 2012 in each of our regional science centers and nationally to set program priorities. Regular strategic planning will subsequently be part of the new strategy for our ongoing science reviews. Back to cooperative research and more specifically to the region. We see this, as you do, as an essential component of our science work, and we are committing to two actions. First, as many of you know, we worked extensively with GMRI to develop a new strategic plan in 2009 for cooperative research. In light of some of the budget challenges that we face, in light of some of the findings in this report, and frankly, in light of some of the learnings that we have already experienced through almost the first full year under sector-based management in the groundfish fishery, we are going to expedite a midterm review of that 2009 strategic plan for cooperative research to involve all regional cooperating institutions and agencies and do so in a time frame that allows us to incorporate findings into FY12 research funding prioritization decisions. Second area of focus, under communications. We will work to improve our communications efforts in very specific and immediate ways. Several of the report recommendations relate to how we communicate with and provide customer service to the industry and to the general public. We are committed to continuing our efforts to improve our communications, but specifically, as Press indicated, the spread out nature of our communications endeavors in the region have created certainly deficiencies or underperformance with respect to some of our communications efforts. So in the Northeast, we will work now to consolidate our communications staff under one program and coordinate them under one communications plan. We will at the same time build on recent efforts like the Navigator, now found in the Commercial Fisheries News, to simplify the way that we explain actions we are taking and how they impact industry participants. We are also going to work harder to build on our efforts to communicate directly with industry through programs like the pilot fisheries information centers, our bi-weekly calls with sector managers, and through our new compliance liaison here in New England. And I think I know Don Fry was here, but hopefully you've all had the opportunity to or will soon to reconnect with Don as he steps into this new role. So I think it's important to acknowledge as we go through some of these findings, that in many cases what we're talking about, particularly in the communications arena, is to build on some of the very aggressive work that the region, the center, and you all have undertaken in recent months to already begin to improve this process. Third area, roles and responsibilities. A third and a consistent concern is that of roles of the regional office, science center, and council. The need to express those roles more clearly, perform within those roles more consistently, and coordinate across those roles more effectively. This is a particular area that has both short and long-term implications. We know that we can immediately update some of our communications to more clearly define the roles and responsibilities of the various components of the system that we are responsible for in the short term. But at the same time, through the NRCC, we can work to more aggressively define and renew our efforts to articulate what those roles consist of through new operating agreements. And that's an area where we would particularly invite the council to discuss further in the short term the opportunities that might exist. And then, most importantly, subject to additional feedback from the council and the additional feedback that we might receive as people have the opportunity to peruse the full Phase 1 report, we envision the areas of roles and responsibilities to be a particular focus in that Phase 2 investigation as we dig down more deeply into some of the work planning, prioritization, work distribution issues going forward, so that we can focus in on ways to make the system more responsive to the needs of the resources that we manage and the people that we work on behalf going forward. So we see this as, again, subject to further discussion, a big area of further investigation in the Phase 2 investigation. And then finally, in this area of data management in the short term, we will take specific steps to improve our management systems. Over the years, as many of you know, data collection programs and data management systems have been developed in the regional office and in the science center on an as-needed basis. And as you've heard, the management review finds that our systems are not integrated, seem redundant. Stakeholders find challenges in interacting with the data management systems both from an input fashion as well as they seek to obtain data back from the systems. And there are inefficiencies in the delivery of data and related analytical products. We will work to address this. Specifically, we are going to integrate and consolidate our fishery-dependent reporting and collection systems and the underlying data management systems in the region. At the same time, to improve the timeliness and accuracy of fishermen-reported data and to simplify industry reporting requirements, the regional office and the Science Center have been working to transition from paper to electronic logbooks. This will speed processing of data, reduce errors in the data, and relieve the industry of having to obtain, carry, and fill out paper logbooks. The program will be available initially on a voluntary basis to vessels in the multi-species sector, and we envision having that available in June of 2011 on a voluntary basis for initial implementation. So those are the four areas of immediate focus. They also, I think, inform some areas for further investigation in Phase 2 and further discussion with you going forward. In closing, I want to make just a couple of additional comments. I want to make sure, again, that we don't lose sight of the positive findings in both of these reports. In addition to the challenges we've been talking about, there are great things to build on here in New England. Specifically, the management review did highlight, as press noted, the excellent staff at the regional office, the Science Center, and here at the council. We appreciate their commitment to the mission, our collective missions. We appreciate their dedication and perseverance in the face of these challenges, And we want to make sure that whatever we do through this management review is geared first and foremost to empowering them to collectively work more effectively together and better deliver on the products that we all expect from them. And finally, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, that it is critical that we partner with you as we move forward. Press and I had the opportunity to brief John and Paul about these findings a week ago, but that was, again, only just the beginning. We look forward to working with you very closely going forward. We understand that you will need some time to review these reports to form some opinions and perspectives of your own, but we look forward to at the earliest possible time deemed appropriate by you working further with you both in execution of some of these phase one recommendations and in planning for phase two investigation. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the council, thank you again for your patience as we work through this material, and again, your support as we have undertaken this important effort. And we're happy to field questions or comments at your pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Press, thank you. Now you got more exposure to New England than you ever thought you would, but actually very pleased that you were tapped to lead the steering committee and the work with Touchstone to put this together. I have a tremendous amount of respect for you and look forward to reading the report again. And I think before I make my comments, I'll go right to the council. I'd Rip Cunningham.
I would like to add my thanks to Eric and to Press for all of the work that has been done on this. And I, too, look forward to the opportunity to read the full report. Just one question under the 60-day recommendations that under the simplified governance area, there was a comment of explore ways to eliminate unnecessarily redundant programs, activities, and resources. Phase one sort of detail some specific areas for the council to focus on that, or will phase two get into looking at those specific areas that we need to focus on?
Yeah, the report actually identifies in a general sense where some of those redundancies occur. I think more phase two will require or involve a more specific examination of those so that the nature of the redundancies can be more accurately described, and we can at that point seek out the ways to remove them, to eliminate them. But there, the details in the report do speak in a general sense to where some of those redundancies occur.
All right, Dave Preble, then Dr. Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief here. I would like to, first of all, thank both Eric Schwab and President Pate for a superb job, and I like the fact that this was done on levels that encompass not just the council but also the agency as well. Just a couple of very quick things. There are a couple of things in here that stand out to me from the standpoint of the council. The other things have been well addressed. One is the bullet that says reducing the negative impacts of lawsuits and politics on the process. And I just wanted to point out that the politics on the process, politicians in general will zero in on any commotion, I guess is a way to put it. And I think that this relates back to what we were talking about earlier today. We have in the past dealt with these political stresses reactively. And history is not kind to people that act in that way. I'd like to point out that responding to the media is like putting oil on a squeaky wheel, and this particularly supports what the changes that have been made within the council very recently on how to deal with the media. And I would like to point out that historically, Washington's second administration was almost destroyed politically by not responding to this kind of attack from from media, because they didn't know how to do it, and they had the same kind of discussion that we had this morning within his cabinet. But it was a disaster for his second administration. We don't need to follow that. That history has been written. So it's important that we continue to react to the media attacks, the unwarranted media attacks. The other thing that stands out to me is that it relates to that is the geography and history component. New England, you are right. You're absolutely right. I'm glad you picked that up. The history of New England is unique, and New England is bound by its myths. And again, the responding to the media is the best way to respond to that problem. Reducing the time required for science to inform the management process. You addressed that very well, and I had written down we need protocols, and that's exactly what you said. We want to establish protocols on a national basis. And the last thing is that we do need to find ways to eliminate unnecessary reporting, analysis, writing, and the EIS questionnaire. I am really glad you put that in. That is something that needs to be dealt with sooner rather than later. So at any rate, it's a job well done, and I thank you for that.
Dr. Pearson.
Yeah, thank you, Eric, and thank you, Press. Eric, in particular, you certainly have seemed to have fulfilled your commitment to do what you promised to do. And what I like about the effort that you've undertaken and have embraced is your enthusiasm for it. Okay, it's sincere enthusiasm for it, so I appreciate that. Just a couple of comments regarding the presentation that has been given. And I've got one recommendation to make at this point in time. And the comment, first of all, relates to science endeavors. You made that one of your categories, and I'm very glad you did that. And you highlighted something that's extremely important to me and my agency, and that is the need for better science collaboration. You said we can do better, and indeed we can do better. You indicated that you would maximize the input from fishermen and partner research institutions. I would encourage you to go beyond partner research institutions and to broaden that, because there are many research institutions that are not necessarily official partners with NOAA but would like to be partners and certainly have a lot to offer. So I would strongly suggest you entertain that input and develop that relationship with those research institutions, including states. Yes, I'm a council member, but I do represent a state agency. There are other individuals around the table that represent state agencies. So you, being a former state official, are very appreciative of the expertise that lies within different state agencies. Research, obviously, being one of one type of expertise that we have. So please follow up on that to deal with us, the individual states, in a more direct manner, just to maximize the input that we can provide to this whole initiative to improve the process. And then a suggestion I have is that as you move this forward and as you proceed to follow up on recommendations that will start in 120 days, I'd like you to focus on that which is near and dear to my heart, and I think this council, and certainly to NIMS as well, and that's the scale up the collection and use of socioeconomic data in the FMPs in order to make socioeconomic analyses a more visible and meaningful part of the management process. I think that's extremely important. It needs to be done. And it dovetails rather well with the other document that you referenced by Sissonwine and Rothschild, where I see one of their recommendations that I think is a great recommendation that I hope you will pursue, especially in the context of the Touchstone Review, the one you just described. And that is where both of those authors, Sissonwine and Rothschild, mentioned that each region should prepare a description of the processes used to quality assure, all about quality assurance, the different types of scientific advice, including, and here's the emphasis that they put on this, economics, social sciences, and habitat information. There needs to be greater emphasis on that, greater quality assurance, quality control, and review analysis. And their second recommendation, again, relates to what you just said in this longer-term relationship, longer-term recommendation of 120 days. National workshops should be conducted to review this information. We spent so much time on the biological science, but we don't put enough information, enough emphasis on the economic science and on the social science. So I hope you can move forward with some emphasis on those particular elements of your own recommendations and, of course, the recommendations coming out of the Sisson-Wine and Rothschild paper. So, again, thanks a lot for all your work.
Terry?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair, and thanks a lot, Eric and Press. I'm looking forward to digesting this over the days to come, but I've got three questions that you may or not be able to answer today. One is, has the agency signed off on all the recommendations and findings in this report?
So I think the answer to that is we have articulated, and some of what I just described to you is encapsulated in a media statement that we are issuing today that talks about some of the specific actions we have agreed to move forward on. So I think in that sense, I wouldn't say we've signed off on all of it, but we have certainly adopted early action on some with the idea that we need to continue to digest as well as gain additional input back from the council as well as the affected communities on those recommendations before we sign off on all of it.
I figure part of the difficulty in that may be that some of them require funding, and certainly the MREP program and collaborative research. Are you going to be able to allocate anything in these tight budget years towards improving that? Because I mean, we're all struggling with constrictive budgets.
Yeah, so I think that the real challenge in front of us is one of prioritization and then making some allocation decisions more consistent with those prioritization decisions that we make, whether that be in the area of education, in the area of social and economic research, or any of the range of survey-based biological survey-based research endeavors that we undertake. And just by way of segueing into sort of where we are, I mean, I heard some Mr. Chairman commentary about budget uncertainty in earlier conversation. We've gotten a 2011 balance of 2000 year number back. We are preparing spend plans in accordance with those numbers, and those spend plans will then be vetted up through the agency before something is finally affirmed and released. And so we're very much in a in sort of a period of triage and spend planning right now in the short term, even as we embark upon what we presume will be a fairly important debate about the fiscal year 12 budget.
Thanks. And my last question is somewhat related to the funding as well. Like is that in sort of performance review in the months or year to come? Has there been any discussion or thought putting into accountability on the performance of follow through on these recommendations? So as we as a council and the agency and the Science Center work together over the next year, we can troubleshoot what we need to do better.
So I think that's a great comment, Terry. We haven't really focused on that yet, but I think it's an important marker that you put down there.
Sally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Eric and Press. I just want to make sure that it's clear from the council's perspective that what we just received and will be digesting is not just a critique of National Marine Fisheries Service and the Science Center, but a critique of the council, too. So I hope that we're not just going to be giving feedback to Eric on what he should do to improve function at NIMS, but we need to be considering what the council can do to improve its function. And the whole point of this was to look at all three management or three units and how they function individually and how they work together or how they don't. We can't make a decision on what exactly we're going to do here, but part of this is making sure that this performance review improves the way this council works. And, you know, having coffee at meetings is one thing that can be done. It's certainly not the only thing, but I just want to make sure that we're not overlooking the fact that there are a lot of good recommendations in here for the council to take action on. And I'd look to you, Mr. Chairman, as to what you would suggest we do to make sure that we can take these recommendations and make sure we put them into action.
Yeah, I'm giving some thought to that. Now, Eric mentioned there's a 30-day comment window. I don't think we as a body are going to be able to comment in the next 30 days. However, I do know that we'll have an executive committee meeting before our next council meeting. And so I guess what I would suggest is that individual council members submit comments, obviously, in this process directly to the service, but also send them along to the council office so that we have them available at the executive committee. I think a lot of the recommendations are process-orientated, not policy-orientated, although I do think there are some policy decisions that need to be made. As suggested, the NRCC may be a good place to take up some of those collaborative policy decisions. So I would ask that council members submit their comments directly to the council in addition to the public forum, I think, that is being set up. And the executive committee can have a discussion and perhaps come to the council in June with a statement or a position on some of the findings and hopefully a commitment to its own work plan that could integrate into this 60-day window, 120-day window, or whatever works for us. So we can set aside time on the council agenda to have that discussion in June. Sally.
Yeah, just one more follow-up comment. You know, so much of our discussion ends up revolving around the fiscal climate that we're in, and I think that many of the recommendations that were made here can help the council, NIMS, and Science Center deal with the fiscal reality of the coming likely decade and improve efficiencies so that we can deal with the reality of the fiscal climate.
You say a decade? You're an optimist. So press.
Thank you, John. To Sally's initial point, the information that I presented this morning is a consolidation of the findings for the process in total. When you see the report, you'll find that there are positive and negative findings that are segregated for each one of the groups that will help you focus in on a little bit better on what measures you need to take as a council to make some improvements.
Well, I was just going to add, as it relates to the comment period, certainly from our perspective, there was no expectation that or intent to hold the council to a 30-day comment period. In fact, in many respects, I think the council will benefit as much from the comment that we receive as we will. And so that we just expect that from our perspective in relation to the council, this will be an iterative process going forward every step of the way.
David Gith.
Yes, hi. First, I wanted to say I think the report is fair and balanced, and I don't say that easily. I'm a tough critic. I did have two questions. One was one of the issues that I don't see being addressed at the moment is this issue of the legal issues that seem to so intertwine everything we do in New England. And I was wondering, basically, who's going to take on the lawyers?
Well, let me say this. There are a couple of places in the full report where legal counsel is particularly singled out. I have already briefed Lois Schiffer, NOAA's general counsel, on that point. And she has, and hopefully this is not a surprise to Gene, enthusiastically offered her partnership in moving forward. So I envision that, at least from a NOAA general counsel perspective, that we will have significant, constructive collaboration around some of the points, some of the legal points going forward.
Okay, and my second question was, who's going to basically head this up? In other words, as Harry Truman said, where's the buck stop? Who's in charge?
So ultimately me, but obviously there are different elements of this that are going to farm two different places. We will look, as we have already, very heavily toward Pat and her team. who were instrumental in crafting some of this early action response, as they have been in, you know, frankly, trying to ramp up a number of the engagements even before this, the results of this review came in. We will also look very heavily to the Science Center, and Frank will be taking a leadership role in some of the important science engagements that are articulated here on the regional level. But basically, it's, you know, Sam Rauch, Sam Pooley on an acting basis on the science side, and me down in the headquarters, who will bear ultimate responsibility.
I think that's good for people to know, because I think at some point you'll inevitably have, you know, log jams that'll develop, and there's got to be somebody that can step in and smash them. So thank you for that.
Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make a note of thanks in your presentation over the overall positive aspects that you mentioned, the Marine Resources Education Project. As most people know, I've been involved in that project for some time, and it is a program that's aimed at improving the process in the region, and I think it does a good job, and to the extent we could get more people into the program, I think it would be good for all of us. And it really does rely on partnerships that include the regional office, this council, and the Science Center, and so I thank all of those people for around the table that are here that have been involved in the project for some time. And I also noted in some of your report that people continue to have lack of faith in the survey protocols. You mentioned, you know, gear issues and sample size. And we did institute a new program that started in 2010 and recently occurred again in 2011, in which we bring fishermen to the Science Center, to Woods Hole, aboard the Bigelow, to the Observer program, talk with scientists, see all of their work product, get to go to look at the gear that's used on the vessel, and it is the efforts that the Science Center has put into that program really are huge, and I would like to thank them for that, because people who have gone through the program really have appreciated it. Just the gear loft alone, they're amazed by. They didn't realize that they actually did know how to do gear work in Woods Hole, and they do a lot of it. So I just wanted to note that. And again, thanks for noting the program.
Anyone else on the council? Okay. Well, I'd just like to say, based on the report and the presentation today and conversations I've had with you, Eric, and with press, you've exceeded what I expected to get out of the letter that I submitted December of 2009. And I honestly say that in talking with all the leadership of the three autonomous bodies that need to work together to make the sausage, that I actually believe that there is a commitment at the leadership level and at the staff level to actually make these improvements. And I think that this report provides a space for those discussions to begin. And I trust that you will lead us, with the help of the other bodies, you know, to a place that provides the region with better results than we've had thus far. And I think that commitment does bear out well, especially in the full report. And I also look forward to reading the Science Enterprise paper, and hopefully the council is able to take ownership over some of the findings and have a real review of the points that are made in the report that pertain specifically to the council and its operations through the executive committee and the council meeting in June, where we'll have more of a discussion about that. And I think the fact that these discussions are happening out in the open, transparently, which is the way we always try to do things, is a sign of how things need to continue. So I appreciate your efforts, and I think I speak for the whole council when I say that we look forward to working with you and the Science Center moving forward. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all.
We'll break for lunch, an hour and 15 minutes.